Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Matty B. I must have ruffled some feathers last week, dude, because we had people attacking the show almost immediately after I posted it. Because we've been talking about the Harbaugh stuff for, what, 2 weeks now? Yeah, it had to have been 2 weeks, because they beat Michigan State, and then they beat Purdue under allegations. So people are definitely listening to the show, and they must not agree with me, but we're going to get into that in a second. Before we kick off the show, I wanted to bring back up the XFL and USFL merger. They made their announcement that they're going to have a 12-team league. I think it was made yesterday. And they haven't said where the teams are going to be, but I think a 12-team league actually makes more sense. Just because when you have the 8-team league, it's hard to get people invested. And I've been saying it all along, in different regions where there's no team to go see. And you're either going to be in the major markets, or one of the leagues was like in Birmingham and like other smaller markets. It's like you have to pick your battles and see, do you want people to attend the games? Do you want them to watch on TV? And when you get to 12 teams, it's kind of like when MLS started. I don't know how many they had to begin with, but it was a smaller league that grew over time. And I wouldn't be surprised in if this is successful. I'm not calling it yet. But if it's successful, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a league that eventually got to the point where it kind of mirrored the NFL. Where if there's 32 teams in the NFL, there's going to be 32 teams in a minor league, if it goes the true minor league route. They haven't decided on a name. I'm assuming it's going to be something really stupid that makes zero sense. But as we've been seeing with injuries and players coming back, I mean, we have players getting re-signed. Like, was it Kareem Hunt got signed by the Browns after Chubb went down, who hadn't been playing? And I think having a spring league where you have guys that are kind of out of the league, when you start to get into a larger league, you're giving them more of a chance that's going to improve viewership. And it's allowing them to kind of stay closer to the game instead of like pulling guys back. Like, what was it? Was it, it was Philip Rivers, right? That the Niners had supposedly thought about reaching out to last year if they would have made the Super Bowl. And it's like, where has he been playing? I doubt he would be in anything like the XFL, but there might be better solutions for them to kind of reach out and see guys that, like a Tommy Maddox, that have had success in a smaller league, come in and be the next guy up if someone gets injured. I mean, heck, look at Dobbs this past week. Comes in, didn't even practice with the team. Leads them, what, to victory? I don't remember what it was, but
overtime.
And didn't he have a couple touchdowns? I can't remember what his actual stats were, but he wasn't even supposed to play, I don't think. And so just having the win is a good thing. And that's someone that a lot of people wrote off, including me, years ago after the Steelers let him go. He had his next team chance. Then he was with Arizona. He looked decent with Arizona. I'm surprised they tried to move him around. But with Minnesota having playoff chances and bringing your guy in, like that, having a guy like Dobbs come in and give you a chance has to be a benefit to the league. And if you had another, even if it's like a smaller minor league like this USFL-XFL merger, I think it's good long-term for the NFL to have more of like a year-round thing where it's like, hey, these are the guys that kind of didn't make it, but now they're getting a second chance, like guys that were cut after training or whatever. But we'll see how it actually unfolds, because that's clearly their plan, is to be like a minor league, not run concurrent with the NFL like baseball does. So it's more along the lines of giving people a chance to stay in football shape for a second chance after the draft, or to get invited to training camp or whatever. But any thoughts you have on that? You think you're going to be interested in watching it?
I think it just depends, because I felt like the way the XFL season played out, I kind of like that model more than the USFL. I felt like with them actually playing in the regular city seemed to have more interest for attendance purposes. It felt like there was more buzz for the games and for the teams. And overall, I felt like the quality of play in the XFL was a lot better. I felt like from the USFL side, I felt like they marketed like a lot better and did their advertising better. So if they're taking the best of both, I think it could play out for a positive scenario. I mean, to me, I think a lot of it hinges on how they market it. If they try to pull the old USFL route and try to make it something that's competitive against the NFL, or to say that it's something along those lines, I think it's going to fall way short. And if they try to follow that same like cookie cutter approach of the NFL, I almost think that using that type of model doesn't help, because they're trying to accommodate so much that then it ends up just being real sloppy play. And I think like what you saw with the XFL is with some of the different schemes, they were able to kind of tailor it more to the athletes that they had. And I felt like the play was a lot better.
Well, that's what they need to do, is to bring some creativity into it and try to get outside of that NFL range. But if they're doing a pure minor league, I'm feeling that they're going to try to get as close to NFL type coaches and schemes as possible. And then we're going to get more of a, I don't want to say bland, but without having competition in the spring, it's going to be more of like a generic product of, we know you want to watch football, and the spring games have been getting weaker and weaker every year, I feel like, because there used to be a point where in April there was a good spring game. It felt like every week. Now yeah. It's like, oh, we're going to only do a weird scrimmage, and we're not going to keep score. And the ones that do have it, I feel like they're all in the same week, and then that's it. And it's like half televised, or it's like on the Big Ten plus only Ohio or something like channel. It's like, why? What are you doing? Just put it on TV regular. But then of the recruiting advantages, other schools aren't going to like that. So it's like a weird mix of who's actually playing. Is it a game? The USFL-XFL merger can 100% fill that void. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope we get more information. And like I said, I hope there's a team close to me, because I wouldn't mind going to a game. I'm assuming it would be cheaper than driving to an NFL game or whatever.
I mean, honestly, when you're talking about the possibility of mimicking the NFL, I've said it before on here, I feel like NCAA is starting to shift closer towards that model of, with the way that the alignments are going, if they continue on the trajectory they are, you're going to end up with these two like massive conferences where you have almost like your AFC and NFC, and then they just play out of your playoffs based off of those two areas.
Well, let's just get into it and talk about the Harbaugh allegations, because I think that ties into the league. And this upcoming investigation could be a shift. I don't even know if it's going to be away from that, but this is the first time that I've felt that there's not going to be two or maybe like even one power conference, and we might see something outside of that. Because the overreach in this investigation and like the TV networks getting involved is crazy. Because like, to break it down, I'm going to go back, because you probably haven't been following it as close as me. And even the reporting is behind schedule and like against ESPN. So ESPN had been leaking, I think, was it Thamel or someone I think he works for them. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he works for The Athletic. Because The Athletic had very slanted coverage against Harbaugh at first. And about a week ago, after our show, I want to say, because when we did the show last week, I felt like ESPN was kind of in Harbaugh's corner, because you had Feinbaum and a couple of those other guys speak out in Jim Harbaugh's defense, saying like, it's not a big deal. all of a sudden it was like ESPN higher ups got ahead of it and they said, no, we got to hammer this, because I think they had a vested interest in seeing Michigan and the Big Ten go down. If Michigan gets banned from the postseason, then there's a really good chance that the SEC gets two teams in. Because I'm not convinced that Washington's going to end up undefeated. And as good as like one loss Oregon is, you're really sitting there with, and I say SEC, but I'm counting Texas into that because they're going to be in the SEC. You're looking at a good chance that Texas makes its first playoff because they beat Alabama. And if Texas stumbles again, then Alabama could just be in. If Alabama beats Georgia, the SEC could theoretically be left out. If, bear with me, if Florida State wins out, that's an undefeated ACC, they're in. If Washington wins out, that's an undefeated Pac-12, they're in, right? If Michigan wins out, undefeated Big Ten, they're in. If Texas wins out and Alabama win out, Texas has a head-to-head over Bama, SEC would be left out of the playoff in that scenario. And that's a really, that's a real realistic scenario that comes up that could happen. And I think ESPN pushing for the Michigan to lose or to be disqualified gives them an advantage, because if Michigan wins out and they're disqualified from even the Big Ten championship game, I guarantee that they're not going to put an Ohio State team in that got killed by Michigan or whatever at home. Like, they're not going to put them in over Alabama. They're not. So there's a vested interest in seeing an ESPN having this story go, and their coverage sealed it, because I think it was over the weekend, might have been Sunday or Saturday. The AP, the Associated Press, put out a story that I don't know if all of these have been vetted, but according, I think it was to The Athletic, Purdue's former analytics guy from last year. Remember, because this plays a key part into Florida State too, because Jeff Brohm, Purdue's old coach, coaches Louisville, Matt. Their team turned their entire season around in 1 year. Pretty suspicious, right? Purdue's coach came out and said that they were colluding with other Big Ten schools to take down Michigan, is basically what he said. He said the outrage against Harbaugh is unfounded, and he wanted to put a stop to it. So there was a shared spreadsheet. It's been confirmed by the Associated Press that it's real, that Rutgers, Purdue, and Ohio State, at least those three teams, had access to, and they were trying to share Michigan signs with other teams, which rumored include TCU, that they share the document with them before the playoff game, and most likely Illinois. Because if you remember before that, Rutgers was close to Michigan at half. Michigan supposedly went in and changed up their signs, and that Michigan was kind of aware that their signs were kind of being passed around and they weren't sure what was going on. This past year, this summer, they put up a wall around their practice facility because they thought people were filming to get their signals. It turns out that that could be true, and the sign stealing thing is real. ESPN didn't report on it until late tonight. And their headline says, Michigan claims. They didn't say that a former coach verified. It's not a claim. It's real. They colluded against Michigan. And I'm surprised that, because before we did the show, I wanted to kind of get a pulse on it. Because, like, Penn State's not mentioned. How many times has Penn State been really close to beating Ohio State? If Ohio State's colluding with other schools against Michigan, you better damn sure believe that they're colluding against Penn State and Michigan State too. They're the biggest threats to Ohio State, right? Because from the claim, Iowa, Minnesota wanted nothing to do with conspiring against Michigan. And even PJ Fleck, like I've been saying, he's been the one positive voice in the Big Ten meetings, because I think he knows that he's been tied to the Michigan job whenever they hired Harbaugh, that he was a candidate, so why wouldn't he, right? Why not hedge your bets? If Harbaugh's talking about going pro every year, why would you even risk it? And so they're supposed to be out. The three teams, Rutgers, Ohio State, and Purdue played Penn State pretty close the past couple times, right? And I didn't, then they almost beat him, or Illinois beat him. Illinois also played Michigan close. There's rumors that they're involved. And their coach even said last year that they knew Michigan signals. I guarantee they had access to the document. They beat Penn State. That's why I'm surprised that there's not more outrage from Penn State's fans. Because how many times has Penn State been close? Losing a game to Illinois. And that was like that overtime game, remember? Where Purdue stopped how many two-point conversions in a row? You think that was a coincidence, Matt? It's Illinois. Right? Their coach said that they had the signals, and he was concerned about people getting hurt, which is kind of a shock because Illinois knew the signals last year against Michigan. Blake Corum got hurt. So is that a little bit of projection from him? Thinking that them knowing which way Michigan's going to run got Blake Corum hurt? Which basically, that's the reason I think Michigan lost in the playoffs more than anything. They were a different team. And in these leaks too, Ohio State was pissed, supposedly, that they didn't have any information on the formations Michigan ran when Donovan Edwards was in the backfield. So they would have been better off had Corum not gotten hurt because they had all the signals and everything decoded. When he got injured, the first game that Donovan Edwards basically played full-time was Ohio State, and he thrashed them for 200-something yards. So no wonder they were pissed. They were preparing all year with Rutgers and conspiring with Purdue and everybody, trying to get an advantage, which is mind-boggling to me, because why? I mean, I guess it's probably like a devil-you-know scenario, like a Stockholm Syndrome thing, where Ohio State's been winning the conference for so many years, we better just buddy up with them, right? And someone said that, like, now the Schiano comments make more sense, where he said he came out at halftime when Michigan was crushing them, and he said, something's not right. It was almost like he had the signals and they had changed them, or they were already planning on outing like the Stallions thing, which is a different thing. Because right now, and the reason I bring this entire thing up, and I'm surprised at how many people they must just hate Michigan. Because if you're looking at it from an outsider's perspective, because I told you last week at the end of the week, it looked like Bama and Georgia were two of the teams that were most like two of the loudest calling for Michigan to be banned. Because like I had said at the beginning of the show, they benefit. If Bama beats Georgia, Georgia could be the fourth team in if Michigan's disqualified, right? They might have a better resume than Ohio State if Michigan beats Ohio State and is somehow disqualified.
Yeah.
This week, the tables have turned from their fans. It's more because if you're a coach, let's say, and you're in the top of your league and you're running for a championship and three of your competitors is sharing information against you, because they had a response saying that, oh, what we did was legal. But no, it's still advanced scouting, Matt. You didn't play them. You had someone else not tied to your team go to the game, decode the signals, and send them to you. They did none of the work. All they did was get the signals, and then they tried to take Michigan down. Connor Stallions, on the other hand, he was decoding the signals himself. He had other guys go and film the games. They sent it to him, and he was like a crazy guy just breaking down the signals in his bat cave, right? The other teams are working together on a shared document that was proven from the AP. I'm saying the AP because the ESPN made it seem like Michigan had this document. No, the guy sent it to the Associated Press. He said that he sent it to Pete Thamel. I think it's how you say his name. I don't know. He said he sent it to him first, and ESPN didn't report on it. So ESPN supposedly, based on some of like their, you know how they do those PR things? They're supposedly doing a PR looking into all of the information that Thamel received, because it looked like he was holding back information to make Michigan look bad. Because let's say if AP is able to verify it this past weekend, ESPN knew it a couple days before, because the coach said, I coached at Purdue last year, I have access to the shared documents. Here it is. They shared a redacted version on Twitter. If you go on Twitter and look, the Associated Press, they have the full version. It's real. Nothing fake about it. Coaches were sharing plays, at least from Michigan, he shared. He didn't say anything about Penn State or anyone else. I'm just speculating. I find it hard to believe that all these coaches are working their asses off to only take down one opponent. Because, like, who does Rutgers benefit beating? if they could somehow sneak a win against Michigan or Penn State, they're 100% benefiting. Maybe Maryland's on there. Maryland's not included in this weird shared document. As a coach, or you'd have to be upset if like three of your opponents decide that they're going to take you down and they come up with a game plan of stolen signs, basically, because they're stealing the signs from somewhere. They're taking all the footage that each school gets and they're combining it to only take down one school. I don't see how that's not against the sportsman code of Big Ten. Because like everyone keeps bringing up the Astros thing, and I was that's probably why people were so pissed at me last week, because the way the Astros thing made sense is the technology was used in game. If Michigan had Connor Stallions up with a radio and he's radioing to Harbaugh what the call is going to be, that's more like the Astros thing than him paying people using his real name, because it's not really against the rules. You can send people. He's not doing the scouting. No Michigan coach went to the games and did the scouting. There is one weird twist, though. So remember how I said that he might have been on the sidelines for Central Michigan? They're saying that it was him, but Central Michigan hired him to do that game. So in the gray area of gray areas, he's not supposed to be at that game from a Michigan perspective, but he's so good, which is my entire argument last week. This guy's made such a name for himself that Central Michigan was willing to hire him for a Friday game to come and try to break down their signs, Matt. And Central Michigan's looking into it. The NCAA said that they're going to start looking into the Central Michigan case, because I don't know. Is there a rule about being a coach on two teams? I don't know. But if he's being paid to be there, then I would say that that's legal. It might be kind of illegal from Michigan's side, but I haven't seen anyone bring that aspect of it up. If Central Michigan pays him, like how, if you're just a consultant, he's just an analytics guy. Everyone keeps saying he's a recruiting analyst. His title was like analytics assistant or something like that. It was a very low level. So if he's an analytics guy and he's just being like a contract worker, because it's not, I mean, he's not being paid big time as a coach, right? And maybe the NCAA, because how many analytics guys work for multiple schools? I don't know. So maybe it was a legal thing that he's kind of just like, you know what? I'm really making a name for myself. He wanted to be a head coach someday. He had that manifesto. Maybe he took it a step further. But if I'm the other Big Ten schools, I would have to be pissed. But what do you think? That's kind of the updates of everything that's been going down.
I guess the thing that I would have the hardest time wrapping my brain around is how you're doing work for a major Division I program, and then they're like, oh yeah, and here he is with another team. Like, I would feel like you would have to know if he's working that closely with you and you truly are like in this advanced like scouting realm, that you're not wanting him leaving to go to anywhere else.
Well, see, that's where I think it's in Harbaugh's favor. And even the NCAA said it makes sense, like he was sneaking behind Michigan's back and doing it. Because Central Michigan, the Sharks there, Jim McElwain, right? He coached at Michigan. They have a lot of Michigan coaches on staff. I'm assuming that they knew him. They were like, this guy, he steals signs, which is legal, as Ohio State clearly shot back today. It was like, well, what we were doing was legal. Sharing it might be a little strange, but it was, we were doing it only from tape. Oh, yeah, sure. And then this guy's like, hey, you guys are playing Michigan State. I know all their signs. I'll just come and I'll decode them for you. And they're like, all right. Because like maybe they didn't pay him. I don't know. But they were making it seem like that he's there. Now, everyone was saying that Michigan made him stay quiet. He, like, the NCAA tried to investigate him, and even Michigan tried to investigate him. And my thought was, if Michigan wanted him to be quiet, why did he not show up for the Michigan one? Because that pretty much just gives them cause to fire him without anything, right? He's just done. If they were kind of pushing him out, I feel like he would have had a meeting. Unless people are saying that he had it off the books or something. But like they had it scheduled And then he was supposed to meet with the Big Ten or NCAA or whatever. And he's just like, nah, I'm done. I made such a name for myself that, like I said last week, in a year or two, if he's on Clemson sideline or something, you know that nothing's going to happen. Right. And they're most likely, because even looking into some of the theories by other writers and stuff, I think Yahoo's been behind it, that previous loan coaches like this that went out on their own, and Michigan seems to think that they have proof that Harbaugh and the other coaches had no idea, because like I said, he's building a name for himself. Why would you tell your coach? Like, if you're preparing for a new job, you're not going to go tell your boss and be like, hey guys, I'm spending a lot of my free time starting my own company. And they'd be like, what the hell? I thought you were like working for us. Like, what do you, I thought you were decoding signals all day. Oh yeah, I am. But I'm kind of doing it for Central Michigan right now. Like, that's going to rub them the wrong way. Right. Cause in his mind, he's thinking, I'm already doing the grunt work for Michigan State. How about I just get an extra payday by doing it for Central Michigan too? Right.
Yeah.
Why not? Like, if you're trying to build a business, that's why I think that everyone's saying that Harbaugh should have known. He had to have known that this guy's good. Like, yeah, he's good. And who cares where he's getting the footage? I mean, he obviously didn't care, and everyone knew he was using his real name. And why not? The funny thing is, everyone was pointing to like the Venmo transactions. There was a leak a couple weeks ago that Ohio State's sign-stealing guy was paying people on Venmo with a shamrock emoji before the Notre Dame game this year. Oh, very suspicious of them. And that's where I think going back to the mega conference thing is, I feel like this could be a final straw, because the Michigan brand is so valuable right now that in theory, let's say the Big Ten just keeps pressuring them and pressuring them, which is what ESPN wants, because ultimately Michigan breaking away from the Big Ten, or them kicking Michigan out, is bad for the Big Ten. It just is. There are five major brands in college football that drive all the viewership. It's Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame, Alabama, and Texas. Right now you have the Big Ten with two. You have the SEC with two. That's why I said if Notre Dame would join the Big Ten, that gives them three. That's a push of power to the Big Ten, where if there's going to end up with one super conference, it's going to be the Big Ten at that point. If ESPN and all this reporting and stuff can get the Big Ten to kind of push Michigan out, and Michigan goes to the SEC, even if Notre Dame joins the Big Ten at that point, it's a wash, because the SEC is going to be, have three of the top five programs. They're going to be the number one in revenue, because it's not going to be like Michigan joining alone. There's going to be someone else out there. I think it's more plausible, in fact, that the ACC could even make a play. And I know you joked about it, but if the ACC is looking at a 20-team conference or whatever, they have 19 right now, I think, you have Michigan join, even if it's like a Notre Dame type deal, where you're like, you guys are going to be rivals, and then you do your own things or whatever. It's going to work out in bringing their revenue up. Because right now, Notre Dame's kind of doing their own thing. If they would work as a team package and come to the ACC, I think you would see something very close to, if not better than what the Big Ten has already. I mean, most likely ESPN would probably rather have them in the SEC, and then that would push the SEC number above the Big Ten, and that would be it. Because like, Michigan does very well in the major markets like New York. And that's the one reason why they brought Rutgers in. So seeing Rutgers come in and collude with Ohio State to bring Michigan down, because, I mean, their old coach, Chris Ash, probably it started with him when he said, we're going to fence the state with Ohio State. It was like a weird team up they did back then. He came from Ohio State. Him and Urban were trying to work on it. I guarantee that this collusion started back then. And Greg Schiano just kind of came into it and was like, yeah, it probably is beneficial if Michigan stops taking our recruits. And then Ohio State does whatever they want to do. But I'm interested to see how far it goes. Because if the Big Ten coaches are, and the presidents are as mad as what everyone's saying they are, I mean, there could easily be a split. Hell, Michigan and, let's say if Minnesota is one of the ones that's kind of annoyed with it, and the SEC offers, and they're like, Michigan, you need a travel partner. Let's bring the jug down. And it's going to be Michigan and Minnesota. Boom. What if they start, because those are the two hockey powers in the Big Ten too. What if they join the SEC and they start a hockey conference? Then you're really picking at the Big Ten. And even with the Pac West or whatever, the Pac 12, their conference, their schools coming in, they're not going to be as big of a draw as what if Michigan leaves, because guess what? Their conference already fell apart because no one wanted them. They're taking pennies on the dollar to join the Big Ten. If Michigan gets kicked out before they even join, who's to say that they just don't ever join the Big Ten, Matt? Because one of the things that they reported saying was that the Big Ten could take away TV revenues from Michigan, and Michigan said they'd file a lawsuit. If the Big Ten takes their TV revenues and effectively kicks Michigan out of the conference to renegotiate, the Big Ten, I think, would be done. Because all it would take is 1 year of Michigan making more money than Ohio State for Ohio State to be leaving that conference too. And hopefully they wouldn't be trying this kind of bullshit behind the scenes stuff anymore.
But I almost think in some aspects, like, I feel like Michigan winning right now is kind of giving them this bulletproof status, because they're not going to want to, as a conference, you don't want to overly discipline one of your people that could potentially make the playoffs. Because it's like, if they make it, you have that revenue sharing aspect of making the bowl game, that it's like you're going to slap the hand that feeds you. So why would you punish a team that could potentially make you money?
Well, that's the one thing. If it was any other school in the Big Ten, it wouldn't even be a story, right? But I bring it to the other conferences because, like, Jeff Brohm, he could be clearly implicated in this the same way Harbaugh is. They can say, oh, well, he should have known. Well, then last year, Jeff Brohm should have known that they were stealing signals. And if you're Notre Dame and you have a loss to Louisville on your schedule this year and you have a loss to Ohio State that are both implicated in this new evidence that, like I said, has been proven by the AP, you have to be a little bit pissed off, I would think. Right? That's why I'm surprised that other than Georgia and Alabama fans kind of turning on their head and saying, like, yeah, this stinks. Like, Ohio State's been blaming Clemson and Georgia for stealing signs and, like, having cameras on their practice. I think Georgia said that they found cameras or whatever. Yeah, it's probably Ohio State at this point. It probably is Ohio State based on the evidence that this former Purdue coach leaked. And I don't know who it is. He was anonymous because he said if his name was out, he would never get hired again. And no shit. No shit. But like I'm saying, I'm surprised the teams aren't rallying behind this, because Notre Dame's directly affected. Penn State's directly affected. I mean, that was a one-score game Penn State lost this year. You really don't think that there was some colluding there? If they're colluding, like I said, if they're colluding against Michigan, they're also colluding against Penn State. And I mean, I really don't care about the rest of the conference. If Michigan were to leave, I wouldn't give two shits, right? But Penn State played Illinois this year. So if Illinois is one of the teams, they very well could have just given the signals to Ohio State again before Ohio State played Penn State. I'm just throwing it out there. Because everyone's throwing stuff out against Harbaugh, and the NCAA already said he's not tied to any of the things. And this guy, they said that there was no payments to any coaches. It seems like Michigan's guy was doing it on his own to make a name for himself. You have other teams working together to beat teams in the conference. Clearly a sportsmanship issue. It might not be against the rules, but it's enough that I think Michigan could probably get out of any TV contract, right? Remember how Clemson said they think they might have found a loophole to get out of the ACC's TV deal? This would 100% be a loophole to get Michigan out. And based on what leaked from Fox, they're saying that if Michigan leaves, that's $1 billion loss for them. Not $1 million loss. That's billions of dollars that they lose in revenue because of Michigan's always, what, the big noon game or night game? They're playing night game against Purdue last week. No one wanted to watch that. Are you serious? How was that the NBC game when it was going to be an ass whooping, Matt? I mean, seriously, it's up against what? Alabama, LSU? And what was the other one? Washington played someone. USC, I think. It's like, all right, well, we're already paying billions of dollars to have Michigan here. If you guys kick them out, who are really broadcasting anymore? Because, like, Michigan State would be gone. Michigan-Penn State would be gone. Michigan-Ohio State would be gone. Those are three of the top games. And then whoever else Michigan plays, right, that you're losing to bring in, like, oh, now you get Rutgers playing Oregon. Awesome. No one's going to care about that game. No one's going to care. Heck, they even said that there are rumors that if the ACC and SEC supposedly reached out, I don't know if that's true, but there's also a chance that if Michigan got kicked out or whatever, for whatever reason, that like Oregon State and Washington State could somehow be saved too. As like, because if the ACC brings in Michigan to make it like, what, 20 with Notre Dame, why not bring in a couple West Coast schools and try to do like the pods idea, right? Because if you can pluck Michigan out and the Big Ten literally just destroys itself, how do you know that the ACC can't pull like some of those other Pac-12 schools away? Like, oh, come on, Oregon, or like I said, Minnesota throwing it out there, or even Iowa. Like, hey, you guys have had an unfair advantage against Ohio State. That's why no one beats them, because they've been colluding with losers like Rutgers every year. And Illinois, that always sucks. Like, Ohio State's picking teams that suck to collude with, right? I almost wonder, because like Purdue's mentioned, how do we know that that Purdue upset Ohio State wasn't just a rigged game? Right? You scratch my back, I'll let you guys beat us every once in a while. Right? You don't know. Fixed games are fixed games. Why would that happen? The only reason all these teams are working against Michigan is kicking their ass. Like you said, everyone was saying, well, Michigan had the sign stolen. That gave them an advantage. Now it seems pretty clear that everyone had Michigan signs and they were still getting their ass whooped. Like Ohio State's given up 80-something points to Michigan and they knew the plays, Matt. That's embarrassing. No wonder they're scared. No wonder they're tied to the PI firm. Because the rumor is the PI firm, they said it wasn't Ryan Day's brother, but it's supposedly a PI firm that has an office in Columbus, Ohio, which is suspiciously where Ohio State is located. So if they destroy their own team in the process because all this other information that's being leaked out, because I keep hearing Ohio State fans and even Penn State fans for some reason say like, oh, I can't wait until Michigan sues the Big Ten because then everything's going to come into discovery. It's like, you guys are going to be implicated too. What are you talking about? The initial report said that Penn State also has a sign stealing guy that's pretty good. Like, you don't think he's sharing with some of these teams? Maybe there's like little cliques in the conference. I don't know. But it seems based on Connor Stallion's information that Michigan hasn't been working with other schools. That's why they're pissed. And they've been winning bad. So we'll see what happens this weekend. I hope it's not too much of a distraction, because right now, Michigan team is going to be playing Penn State. Unless, I mean, Harbaugh could be suspended tomorrow when this posts. I think there was 48 hours, right? They gave it on Monday. They should know by Wednesday. And I honestly don't even know what to believe. Because some are saying, the college football has already said that they're not going to care unless the NCAA makes a ruling. I think the NCAA said they're not going to make a ruling. They haven't even given an allegation notification letter, because the guy that had the stolen signs from Purdue already turned it into the NCAA too. He said he sent it to everyone last week, and ESPN or no one reported on it. That's why he sent it to Michigan directly. And then the other AP writer. He was a Michigan State guy. The writer that published it was a Michigan State guy, Matt. Because guess who wasn't included in that little clique? Michigan State. So I think you're going to see some other schools in the conference kind of turn on Ohio State if it seems like they are the ringleader school. Because like, how many close games did Michigan State have? What was it? Ohio State had a lead on them 49-0 at the half a year or two ago. Remember that?
Yeah.
Now it's all pretty suspicious, all their results. Like, this year, Ohio State's been really worried about their signs, and they have looked like crap all year. So, I don't know. Maybe they come out and they crush Michigan. We'll have to see what the games play. I mean, you still have to play the games unless the Big Ten cancels the year. If the Big Ten makes Michigan not compete, this is what I would like to see happen. Because at that point, I think Michigan would be done from the Big Ten. I would like to see Michigan reach out to JMU and Liberty and say, look, we're all undefeated. JMU is not even allowed to play a bowl game this year because they just joined the NCAA. They petitioned against it. So they're trying to get into a bowl game because there's a good chance they end up undefeated. I would think with Liberty's schedule, there's a good chance they end up undefeated. So if the Big Ten, if Michigan's not allowed to play in the playoffs or the Big Ten championship, I think what Michigan should do is just play a mini tournament with JMU and Liberty. And if they run the table and they're like 13-0 or whatever, just claim a natty. Other schools might be pissed, but you can't disprove it on the field. And if you play two other undefeated teams at the end of the year, because I think there's seven left, right? So Ohio State and Michigan will play. That'll be two of them. And then...
Well, I feel like that's one of the things, too, that a lot of the media people are taking out, is that you figure Michigan and Ohio State are going to play each other. So that solves one of your issues with who's getting into the playoff, because the winner of that game will be your qualifier.
Yeah, and as long as teams like Florida State don't choke, the loser should be out. But you never know whenever Ohio State can back in a year, right? If Michigan beats Ohio State this year and they somehow back into the playoffs, this is the year I'd want there to be a rematch. Because if Ryan Day can't beat Michigan this year with all the smoke around the program, I don't think he would ever beat them again. Right? I mean, next year Michigan will have a new quarterback, but with JJ, if Ohio State has all these distractions going against Michigan, if Michigan stomps him again, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Day's fired, right? Like, crazier things could have happened. But if Michigan stomps them twice in the same year because they somehow back into the playoffs, because, like, Georgia could just win out, which would eliminate Bama because they would have two losses. They play Ole Miss this week. So that's going to take care of the SEC. If Georgia loses to Ole Miss, we could have a three-way scenario where it's Bama, Ole Miss, and Georgia all right there. Whoever is in the championship game, I think it would be Bama at that point, and Georgia, they would eliminate themselves, but the SEC would still have two very strong teams pushing for the playoffs. You would have Ole Miss at whatever, 12-1 or 11-1 with the loss to Bama, and then if Bama wins out, and Bama's like the number one or number two or whatever, and they have one loss, with their loss being to Texas, I think they have a strong case for both of their teams to get in if something crazy happens. But if Georgia stomps Ole Miss this weekend, then all bets are off. Because then I think Georgia beating Alabama only lets Georgia make it from the SEC. Everyone else would have two losses at that point. So that's a scenario there. The cleanest way for other conferences to get in is if Georgia wins out. The Pac-12, I think Oregon still has a chance. They're going to have to rematch with Washington. Washington's undefeated right now, but they still have a tough schedule coming up. So I don't even think we should talk on them until we see what happens, because I don't even know if I'm sold on Oregon. Washington has to play Utah, Oregon State, and Washington State. Oregon has to play Oregon State, Arizona State, and USC. USC is at home, or it's a home game for USC, I should say. And it's not this, it is this week. It's a night game, a very late game at 10:30 on Fox. Late for us East Coasters. So that could be the game where if USC finally puts stuff together on defense or wins a shootout, that would eliminate two teams from the Pac-12 as well. The Big Ten has two teams, possibly Penn State, because they could have a three-way tie like I've been saying all year. So I'm not going to get into that. The Big 12 has Texas or bust. If Texas loses another one, they'd have two losses. They'd be out no matter what Alabama does. The Louisville one is close, because if they win out, they would have one loss. And if Florida State wins out, they would have one loss as well. So there could be a two ACC team left standing, right? Which I would think in that scenario would be Louisville, because they would have the conference championship. Now, if Louisville loses another game, but Matt, I'm telling you, Louisville's schedule is Charmin soft. They play Virginia, Miami, and Kentucky. I think they're going to win out.
That Kentucky game could be a trap game.
Every time I hear Kentucky, they're basically like the SEC Maryland. They're good at the beginning of the year, and then by the end of the year, they're shit in the bed so many times that I don't trust them at all. Like, there's no difference. We were talking about this last week. Like, oh, there's no difference between, like, Kentucky being 6-3 and, like, a Rutgers being whatever they are. Like, I think Rutgers is 6-3, too. There's zero difference between them. Georgia killed Kentucky 51-13. That's a Michigan-Rutgers score, right? Now, they're losing to, like, Missouri and whoever else they're playing. If they play Bama close, because they play Bama this week, maybe I'm wrong. Kentucky, just do something, right? Kentucky plays Bama. Ole Miss plays Georgia. I think Kentucky's going to get killed. And then it'll be back to, yeah, we play Louisville. They could upset Louisville because we don't know how good Louisville is. But if Brohm has the plays, remember, Louisville was involved in that Wake Forest play league too, remember? That I brought up. That's the other penalty that I said, like, they just kind of penalized the coaches and that was it. No losses taken away or whatever, I don't think. And so if Louisville somehow ties us up where they're in the playoff discussion, then we have things open up. Because, like, if you're looking at the rankings right now, they have, oh, here's, like, the college football playoff ranking came out tonight. The top three are the same. Ohio State, Georgia, Michigan, and Florida State. Or top four, I guess. And even Washington and Oregon. The rest of them are kind of just slotted down. I'm surprised that they have Oregon ahead of Texas and Bama. But Texas, with that weird Oklahoma loss, Oklahoma doesn't look good. And I guess Oregon's loss is better. Now, they don't really show who else. Or they don't show who has, like, the receiving votes in that. But I don't think any other than, like, Iowa possibly receiving votes in, like, the AP, I don't think the Big Ten has anyone that's close to making the poll. So, like, if Michigan beats Penn State, like, and they drop and they beat Ohio State, like, Ohio State's best win is going to be against Penn State and Notre Dame. If Notre Dame keeps losing, then who's it going to be? Like, Penn State has the Iowa win. I guess Iowa is ranked in this playoff one. Crazy at with their offense, dude, being so garbage. But maybe everyone knows their plays, right? That'd be a very thing to do. I think the Big Ten should just, this is what I would like to happen. They just go ahead and say, hey, we're going to put headsets in the helmets right now. And that would end everything. They did the replay first. The Big Ten should just go ahead and get ahead of it. Say, hey, we're not dropping the case against Harbaugh. This is crazy. It's getting out of control. Play it on the field. Wear headsets this weekend. But instead, they've let it go for 3 weeks, dude, and have done nothing. So, like, I don't even want two Big Ten teams to make it. If Michigan doesn't make it, I don't even care if they let any Big Ten teams in. Just kick them all out for cheating. Right? Let Michigan win it on the field because theirs is like a rogue staffer, it looks like. I'm still baffled listening to Penn State people like do their little videos or whatever, because I'm like, I'll see what their pulse is on this, because they should be pissed. They don't even care. And I've been saying that for years, right? When Penn State lost to beat Ohio State and didn't get picked it for the playoffs, they were all kind of like, oh, well, that's okay. It's Ohio State can win for the conference. That just shows you what type of cowards they are. Why even have a program if you're going to cheer for another team in the conference? I don't get it. I don't get it. Penn State won national championships. They've won them recently, like, I guess in the 80s, but so did Georgia. Penn State could go on a Georgia-like run if they put their shit together, but it seems like they just don't care. Their fans are, like, just delusional. They're blaming Michigan for all their problems when it's pretty clear that Ohio State's the one colluding with other teams to bring Penn State down. Like, if Michigan gets kicked out, Penn State would be the one team that I would want Michigan to take with them to the ACC or whatever. Penn State coming to the ACC to join with Pitt, and if Michigan can get Notre Dame to go there, like, that's a pretty solid conference, dude, that I think could compete with the SEC without those other teams leaving. Because, like, if Michigan and Penn State come with Notre Dame fully as a conference member, then you have how many powers in that conference? Five? Clemson and Florida State, Penn State, Michigan and Ohio State? Or Notre Dame, I mean, not Ohio State. Fuck those guys. But, right? Like, I don't see any, like, there's going to be nothing other than Ohio State keeps beating up the Big Ten's like, okay, awesome. Here comes Ohio State ready to be in the playoffs. Just like when Tressel was there. They win the Big Ten. They get killed in the national championship game. The only game that they won was that Claret game where they had the tacky pass interference penalty against Miami or whatever, right? Otherwise, they lose. And Tressel doesn't win shit until Urban gets there. So let them be beating up on all these other Big Ten schools. So, I mean, I don't care. If they want to do whatever they want to do and use their full authority to get rid of Michigan, I honestly think that it might make college football better. It also could just explode everything, though. But, like, if you're the other SEC schools, like, are you going to be worried about getting voted out then? Because someone said that, what if Michigan and Notre Dame just made their own major conference? And that was it. They just cherry-picked the top schools. They're like, hey, Florida State, Clemson, come on. Alabama, you guys want to come? Texas, Oklahoma. And then they just have the top schools there. USC, everyone that's kind of just floating around. They just pick them for their own new conference that would just own all the money and everything. So the Big Ten has to be very careful because like a lot of these schools that are leaked in this new document are low level. Like Illinois, Illinois has zero power in the future of college football. None. Rutgers, even less, if that's possible. Right? They're just doing whatever Ohio State tells them to do. So if there's nothing that they can do, then whatever, leave them behind. Screw them. Like, if there's going to be a shared document, it should be shared with every team. Right? That's the only sportsman thing to do. And then at that point, why even have signals, right? That's the stupidest argument I've heard. It's like, well, every team, it's legal for them to share that document because they could easily steal signals. It's like, yeah, but why are they even wasting time decoding other teams' signals? Like, why are they have this Bring Michigan Down document and they're all working it together? Like, that makes no sense.
But I think that also goes back to the system of how coaches get retreaded around NCAA. So you have guys that have coached here, coached there, and you have those relationships with people that then it just becomes a matter of, oh, we're friends. I want to help them out. And here's what do you have any information on this team? Oh, yeah, we have some scouting stuff and you're just getting all that information. And, you know, I always looked at it, and this is only from the high school level, but I looked at when I had play calling responsibilities of how do you send it in and how are you protecting it against teams potentially picking up on it?
Well, That's the key part, having all these coaches move around. That's why I brought up very clearly, going back to Rutgers' old coach, Greg Schiano was a coach at Ohio State in 2016 through 2018. So it's pretty clear that he could have the signals when Urban was there. And this could have been going on for almost a decade of them colluding to take down Michigan since Harbaugh's been there. He goes to Rutgers, it makes it even easier because now you have multiple chances to see him. And like I said, at that point, Rutgers had an Ohio State former DC, Chris Ash, as their coach, I believe. Because he was talking so much trash, that's when Harbaugh ran the score up 78-0 on him. If you want to watch a funny game, like that's it. But like I said, I think Michigan knew, because if you watch the game against Purdue was crashing to take Blake Corum out of the game the entire game. They ran one of the best jet sweeps I've ever seen. Like, it might have been one of the best blocked jet sweeps of all time. Their guy didn't even come close to getting touched, Matt, because Cornelius Johnson, our wide receiver, blocked both D-backs because they crashed so hard on the Blake Corum dive. And our freshman already took it to the house. 44 yards or something like that. And I've seen that play get talked about in like the different like predictions for like the Penn State game, saying like, oh, Michigan couldn't run with Blake Corum. It's like, yeah, because they were crashing every play. And all it took was one play. They're not going to show their best plays against Purdue. Are you serious? They were like goofing around in that game. Like Michigan went for it on their own 30-yard line in like the second quarter, Matt. That's like insane. Why'd they do that? That's how Purdue got one of their field goals. And then Purdue's touchdown came with zero time left, basically. They threw like a Hail Mary. It was basically just a fade. He beat Sandra Stills off the jam. He didn't get a good jam on him. And it was still a crazy catch to get the touchdown. Otherwise, they only scored 6 points. And I think one was a muffed punt. And the other field goal was the going for it on fourth down. So they had already started in field goal range. I think both Purdue field goals were, they started the drive in field goal range. Otherwise, they did nothing the entire game. So coaches moving around and trying to make it so that it looks different. I think that's what we're really going to see go down through the rest of the year. That's why we'll see how good these coaches actually are. Franklin knows the Michigan stuff. I keep hearing about how, oh, Penn State, they're going to win now because Michigan doesn't have their sign-stealing guy. You got to still coach and win the game. Even LeVar Arrington, I think, said that the sign-stealing won't really matter. And he's one of Penn State's favorite sons, right? So, like, if he's saying that it's not going to matter and that Michigan, there shouldn't even be a suspension of Harbaugh, then whatever.
Well, where I think it really matters is when you have a very close relationship, player to player, athlete to athlete. Where it doesn't matter is when you have like you talked about Rutgers. Like when you look at the composite rosters, Rutgers isn't even close to what Michigan's recruiting status is. So even if they knew what the plays are, just Jimmy's and Joe's, they're in a better position. So in some aspects, they may even know, you know, like some of these Big Ten teams, they know what plays are going to happen. It's also why they're getting smoked by 80 points because they know what's happening, but they physically don't have the horses to get the job done. And you know, you're looking for every advantage to try to help your situation out. And what do? It's like there's times where even through film study, you have tendency reports. And you're like, oh, yeah, in this formation, they're running this play. And you're like, I know for sure they're running this play. And they just have a guy that's faster than anyone that you have. And it doesn't matter what you do.
Are you talking about Florida State's offense when they throw those jump balls or?
Well, they only threw one of them this past week.
That's because, did they have no wide receivers to travel with them?
We didn't need them.
Someone said,
we're just playing Pitt, so relax.
Well, someone said, this game shouldn't count for Florida State because they had to bring two tight ends with them. I was like, Michigan runs two tight ends all the time. What are you talking about? That's like, I didn't get to watch a lot of that game. And I just saw Pitt, and you were at the game, and I thought, man, Matt's going to see Pitt beat them. And that has to be such a heartbreaking game to be at.
I was emotionally prepared for an upset because I just thought it's so stupid to lose to Pitt in these circumstances. But, I mean, overall, like there was a great crowd there. I think there was predominantly Florida State.
Well, this week, Florida State takes on Miami.
Hate week.
And Miami just lost to NC State. Not even in a close game, Matt. That was more of an embarrassing game for them. Because I didn't think NC State was any good this year. They played Louisville close, so NC State's been really close. The Louisville game, and then they got killed by Notre Dame and Duke. And so it's like, the Louisville game was so close. If Louisville is stealing signs and they've been like inspiring against NC State. Like, that's a shame that NC State couldn't upset them this year. Because NC State got to play Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, and North Carolina. And they'll probably lose all those games and be like 6-6 for some reason. But, I mean, Florida State right now, this is the season. Florida is so bad. I sent you pictures of Florida Stadium. Did you see how empty it was?
Yeah.
That's why everyone was saying about how, oh, Florida's going to turn around the SEC or whatever. I had said before all this Big Ten bullshit happened, that if Florida keeps losing like this, why wouldn't they just take a bigger payout and go join the Big Ten? Right? More academic focused. Let's just go in and try to make a national conference. Like, we're tired of losing to like the Georgias and Bamas. Let's just go and try to bring these up. Cause they're playing, Florida's playing an SEC schedule and their stadium is completely empty. Florida's not even bad. Like, in terms of like bad teams, they're 5-4, but like Iowa would never have an empty stadium like that at a 5-4 year. And it's kind of crazy that it's like, hey, we're playing number one Georgia. Yeah, we lose, and we're going to play Arkansas. Like, nah, we're going to lose that one too because we have no one at the game. And now we have to play LSU and then Missouri and then Florida State. I have a good feeling that Florida's going to quit if they haven't already, and Florida State's going to stomp them.
Well, that's my hope, is just to capitalize on these beatdowns, because when we had those down years, Miami and Florida were in the prime spot to just absolutely throttle Florida State. And it's like they squandered their opportunity and said about how we missed the mark with Norvell. And he every move along the way over these last four seasons, he's made changes and adjusted to the things that need to be happening in college football right now to be successful. And now he has it slated where he has like a pile of recruits for this year and next year cycles coming to the game, knowing it's the big rivalry game and should be an absolute thrashing.
Well, see, that's where, if I'm Florida State, I'm kind of annoyed with the playoff rankings right now, because it's setting up to where Florida State's probably going to have to play Georgia. But
one way or another, you're going to have to play them anyhow. I'd rather play them in the first round and be done with it.
Yeah, but that, wouldn't you rather try to win? I feel like Georgia's still going to be the team to beat no matter what.
When I look at Georgia, they're playing well, but I mean, it's not the same Georgia of last year.
Well, let's see what happens with Ole Miss.
Like, I feel like this Georgia team reminds me of the 14 Florida State team, that they won a lot of games in the regular season. They had the carryover from the national championship year, but I don't think that they have the same style of play that they had the previous year. Like, I think they graduated too many people out, that I don't think the quality is better.
Well, that's what we'll see, because if Georgia right now is two, the switch will happen if they jump Ohio State and become number one.
Because that was the thing, that if you're just declaring, and Ohio State, they haven't set the world on fire in any of their games, but how the hell are you saying that their wins are so much more quality?
Well, that's bullshit. If you look at
bullshit.
They sent that article out about like the true stats or whatever, but the real stat, and I know Michigan hasn't played anyone yet, they haven't included margin of victory. Michigan's won like every game by an average of like over 30 points. Georgia's second, I think, with 24, maybe. So, like, it's not really that close. But it's close enough where you could say Georgia had a tougher schedule. They're beating teams by just as bad as Michigan. They should be number one. And I would be okay with that as a Michigan guy. No, Ohio State's not. They're, like, 20, like, or something. They're, like, right around what Florida State is. So, personally, I don't see any difference between, like, what Florida State's done and what Ohio State's done. So, Now, if Ohio State wins out and they're undefeated, then yeah, because they'd have the wins with like Notre Dame, Michigan, and Penn State, where Florida State would just have what, LSU? I don't know. I don't even know who else is in this ranking. They would have Louisville too at the end, whatever they end up, if that's who they play. Because there's a real scenario where Florida State could play Georgia Tech in the championship game. If Georgia Tech beats Clemson this week, then they play Syracuse. They're going to end up with only two losses. And I don't know how the tiebreakers work. They did lose to Louisville, but there's like a three-way tiebreaker if Duke or UNC wins out, where you could have like a Georgia Tech team squeak in, Matt. And Florida State would have to play them, and that would obviously hurt their strength of schedule. For like no reason. And the ACC is probably sitting at home thinking like, oh my God, we came to have the best two teams and this is what we end up with? Unless their thing is the highest ranked ACC team, maybe that is their tiebreaker. I don't know. But someone down here was saying like North Carolina and Georgia Tech and Duke all have a chance to play Florida State in the championship game, depending on how Louisville does with Virginia and Miami. And that just made me laugh. That's why you need divisions, dude. Because, like,
I'm not worried about it. You just win. You win your games, and who gives three shits? Because look at the SEC for years. They you win your side of the conference, you play a nobody, and then you go. Just like with the Big Ten, same principle. You have these divisions, so what? You play a 2-8 team on the other side for your conference championship game, and you move on. There's no factor. Just because you're in conference, just because you have divisions within your conference, doesn't mean that one side isn't stacked.
Well, yeah, the side's stacked, but you're playing someone possibly different, or at least semi. Like it would split it a little bit, where you're not. Hey, we're gonna have a tiebreaker between seven teams now, because they all, like, you're getting the circle of suck from the coastal, and that's your second team for the championship game, Matt.
But that's what we got because of the result of trying to semi keep that old Big East conference somewhat intact.
Right now, and I know a lot of these teams play each other, but there's 6 teams with 2 losses, Matt. I don't know how many of them could stay with 2 losses, because I know NC State plays North Carolina. Georgia Tech, I didn't think, played like really anyone, according to what they're saying. They play Clemson and Syracuse, which aren't included in this. So technically, you could have 4 like teams in a tiebreaker scenario to play Florida State. And that is the maximum amount of funny that I would want to happen in the college football season. Because it would just be funny. They should just have a play-in game at that point on Wednesday to see who would get it. Like a mini tournament. And they're like, whichever team didn't look the worst, you're in. But that's my thing. The other thing, speaking of like little mini tournaments, the NBA in-season tournament's the last thing I have to talk about. I didn't really have anything for the NFL this week. So we'll get back on next week. I think the Michigan scandal has been the talk of football pretty much for like 2 or 3 weeks. It really heated up last week at the end. And if suspensions come, because it definitely plays into the NFL stuff too, where the Big Ten's pushing with the NCAA to try to punish Harbaugh across the NFL, where that could have ramifications where if he's not eligible to coach in the NFL, if he leaves Michigan, they might piss him off to where he just stays at Michigan forever then. Because Michigan's firmly in his corner. And if you're going to say, well, you can't leave and go to the NFL because the NFL is going to keep you suspended for a year, just stay at Michigan then. Right? Then they'd really be pissed off. Like, I think that's going to have the opposite effect. That's my NFL take for the week. But we'll get back into hopefully regular stuff next week if this all blows over. But the NBA, we talked about the NCAA tournament. They're trying to do an NBA Cup, but they're not calling it the NBA Cup. And they're not having it over Christmas break like I wanted. They're doing it now, competing with football. Who in the right mind, when there's all kind of college football races going on and the NFL Thanksgiving games coming up, is going to be paying attention to an NBA in-season tournament that takes a month, Matt? It is a month-long tournament that goes from November 3rd to like December something. Why? Like, people wanted a quick holiday NCAA-style tournament that takes place over 2 weeks, like a weekend or two, so that gamblers can pay attention to it. That's what the people wanted. The NBA heard that and they thought, well, no one watches our games. Maybe they will during football season if we make it like a playoff. but no one cares. No one cares. I haven't heard one person talk about it. The only reason I even brought it up on the show was because I'm getting ads for it, and I'm wondering how much it's costing them, because like I would never watch the Celtics play in this cup thing. I got too many Harbaugh stories to catch up on that. Breaking news is happening every day, every hour, to be paying attention to some NBA in-season tournament. And it goes back to our XFL, USFL talk that we started off the show with, where if they want to try to do like an NFL thing, and they're not, they're going to be competing directly with like the NBA playoffs and stuff, they can win some of those ratings battles between lower playoff teams because it's football. If they have a product put together, especially if they start to get more teams and have more NFL type names, I think they have a great shot. Where the NBA is like, instead of just taking what they had Christmas Day and doing like a Christmas weekend tournament, like every high school does for basketball anyway, and just owning it right before the college football playoffs, you have the weekend before. I know there are some bowl games, but most people don't care about bowl games anymore. I think there's a dead, isn't there a space between the opening round of the playoffs and then the semifinals where I thought the NBA should have their tournament that weekend, where you play on Saturday and Sunday, or you do like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever NCAA does. It's the NBA, who cares? And you have the players go to like the Bahamas or something for it. Right? It's not technically Christmas. I guess some weekends it could be Christmas, some like once every 7 years or whatever it is, 6 years. I don't know how the hell leap year works. But that's it. Boom. And they said, no, we're going to do something really weird. And I have never heard anyone talk about it. I don't even think it's on the top of the ESPN page. And the tournament has started. You have college football, NFL. What is this, baseball? Or is this football? Football again. Basketball at the bottom, right above Kansas. So there's one thing about it, and it has nothing to do with the tournament. It's about LeBron James. Unless LeBron James is talking about the tournament. I don't know. I didn't click on it.
Anything about James Harden?
No. Nothing about NBA stuff. And the tournament's going on right now. It started this past weekend. That's why I don't know. There is a quick link forward. Like if you click on like the NBA thing and like you go down, there's like a quick link for it, just like college football and fantasy football and stuff. So that's where it's at. And it's like, it doesn't even take you to like a bracket or anything. It just says that it's a money tournament where the winning team and its players earn $500,000. Why would I give two shits that a millionaire is getting $500,000? Right? That does nothing to me. At least make it do something where, like, it's a lottery where if you're a fan of the team, you put your name in for free. And if your team wins a tournament, they do a drawing for $500,000. Right? Then I would watch. They're already giving $500,000 to these people that, why would I care about that? Right? I don't understand. I know, dude, I have some friends that are obsessed with the salary some of these athletes make, and I just don't get it. Right? Like I've never understood like a man that's like, I can't believe so and so makes $3 million. It's like, who cares? He doesn't even know you. Like I joke around about like Tom Brady and stuff, but like, do I sit around and I don't even know what the hell Tom Brady makes? I know the Fox thing is like $50 million or something, because, and that could be way off, but I think it's something outrageous because Tony Romo was like kind of pissed about it. And that's the only reason that I know, is that Tony Romo is such a crybaby on TV that he hates the Tom Brady. He always throws him down. That's the only reason. I don't know what any of these NBA guys make. And I really don't care that they're getting $500,000. That, if I have no chance of doing it and getting a prize, I have no interest. If it's a sports team that like it's a regular championship, awesome. They're going to get a cup. Don't care. I don't care. That's my final thing. Like if Michigan doesn't get to play in the Big Ten championship, because there's rumors that they don't know what they can do. They might have to let Michigan play out based on the TV contract with Fox, right? Because if they cancel the game or the Big Ten tries to tell Fox that they can't broadcast Michigan and Ohio State, which is the highest rated game every year, they're going to go insane. That's where they're losing the billions of dollars, right? So they're going to have to let Michigan play. Now, they could kick them out of the conference championship game, but like I said, at that point, what's stopping Michigan from saying James Madison or Liberty, let's play? And then the college football playoff already said that as long as the NCAA rules them eligible, they'll vote them in. Maybe it's a reach around from Ohio State trying to get the conference to get them in. Because if they have one loss, but they win the conference, Matt, they could be the four seed. It could be Georgia, Michigan, Florida State, and then Ohio State sneaking back in as Big Ten champ four seed. Right? Wouldn't that be bullshit? That would be really bullshit if Florida State surprised, like somehow drops the game to Miami or Florida, and then they don't get in because one loss, Ohio State has a better resume, even though they're not real conference champs, right?
But you know what? That would be something that I would anticipate happening. That's why the two rules that we follow: win and you're in, and claim all championships.
That's why I said claim it. If Michigan wins, I'll print up Michigan national championship shirts. If they end our season right now, we've been winning from so bad, so much, I'd have to just assume that we're the greatest team of all time. Right? No one has proved otherwise. They can say the schedule's easier, but no one has beaten every team by 30 points. Right? That's honestly like a record. Like week three or four, they said that the only teams to have such dominating wins were like a 90s Bama and Florida State team that both won the national championship. So going off that stat, and Michigan now has the record because it's been, 8 weeks in a row that the teams have only scored like 10 or 12 points and the offense has scored over 30. Like, prove it on the field.
And everyone is making such a big deal and like forcing Florida State to be like, oh, I don't even know that they should be ranked for the college football playoff. Like, they're struggling against these unranked, no-name.
But Florida State only struggled against Boston College. That's it.
But here's the thing. Like, the last stretch here, they've won by more, like, almost three scores.
Well, that's why I said they're catching up. I think they passed Ohio State in terms of margin of victory. Maybe I'm wrong, because this past weekend, I don't remember what Ohio State did, but the only game that's been close for Florida State is Boston College, and Boston College is now 6-3. So how do you not compare them to like a Kentucky or Rutgers, Matt? I really don't see how you can say that Rutgers is a big win for Ohio State. When Michigan beat them, people were laughing and they were like, that wasn't a big win. But when Ohio State does it, everyone's like, oh, Rutgers is actually good this year. Why aren't we saying the same thing about Boston College? That's Florida State's only close game other than with Clemson. Was that Clemson game overtime?
I think it was supposed to when they shanked the field goal.
Now they won by touchdown. I didn't know if that was an overtime or not. I can't remember. I thought you would know. Yeah, it was overtime. They scored. So I guess that one technically would be a close game too. But it's Clemson. I think people will give them a pass at that. That's basically Florida State's only in-conference rival for the past 10 years.
And you look at, like, Clemson's been the ACC bell cow the last couple of years. Like, they've been the college football playoff. They've won national championships.
And they could end up 8-4. They could be ranked in, like, 24th or something. That's where I don't understand when everyone's talking trash on Florida State. I think Washington, their close losses are worse. And I'm not surprised that they're still ranked 5th and everyone's like waiting for them to lose. They're like, we're just waiting for Washington to lose. Could have lost to USC last week. Could have lost to like Arizona State or whatever. Arizona State was the bad one because Arizona State is 2-7. And without some questionable ref calls, they should have lost that game. Like, I don't think their offense scored at all and they kind of blew it off. Like, the Pac-12 is tough. 2-7 is not tough. Like, the Michigan State game, they were bragging about blowing Michigan State out. They won 41-7. Michigan killed them 49-0, and it could have been worse. Michigan definitely called the dogs off in that game, probably because they felt bad for that interim coach. Like, that. So Washington kind of lost their calling card with that win, and everyone kind of stopped talking about Michigan State after Michigan beat them. That was one of the things I noticed from ESPN. They would constantly throw in how bad Washington beat Michigan State. Once Michigan played Michigan State, they haven't mentioned Michigan State one time about Washington. They just talk about how tough their schedule has been and how they beat Oregon. That's it. So if Washington jumps Florida State and somehow is in the playoffs, I don't think there's a way for Florida State to be left out, though, unless the Big Ten cancels the Michigan-Ohio State game and they both get put in the playoffs somehow. Michigan is an independent. And Ohio State, that, I mean, honestly, if they somehow, the Big Ten was able to finagle that in the last year of the four-team playoff, Matt, it would probably be Georgia number one, Michigan, Ohio State number two to play in the first round, and then Florida State or Washington at four, which that would kind of really piss me off. And I don't know how other fans wouldn't be pissed off either. They keep calling about Michigan getting kicked out. Like, the only team that benefits from that is Ohio State. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Let the players play and see what happens. And then after the year, then you can do your sanctions or whatever.
Well, I feel like this is one of those years, too, where even if Ohio State does make the playoffs, I don't think they're winning it. Like, when you're struggling against the Indianas and Rutgers of the world, like, to play a team that's in the top four, I think is going to be a problem.
But to your point, I mean, we don't know how the rest of the season is going to play out, but I don't think there's really a top team this year. Like, there's no team that stands out that's like, I know Georgia kind of stands out, and if Michigan had like some tougher teams on their schedule, you could say they stood out, but right now you can't say that. So there's not one team that I think looks lights out better than anyone else.
I mean, the one, I'm biased to Florida State, but I feel like the asterisks with them have just been the inconsistencies with injuries, because they've had so many guys banged up through the course of the year that, like, that Boston College game, they had, like, their entire offensive line, I think, was out for that game. And then with the Pitt game, they had no receivers. Like, not only were the starters down, but the backups were down, too. I, like, looked out, and I was like, we have a tight end flexed out at receiver right now. This is not an optimal sign.
Matt, we have a rule on the show. You can't talk about injuries. Remember when Jabril Peppers didn't play in that bowl game? And he's easily worth, what, 21 points himself, right? Michigan Michigan wins that game easily if Jabril
Peppers. If I had a nickel played. For every time they said Jabril Peppers isn't playing tonight, I would have a lot of nickels.
Yeah, I didn't even know the Florida State guys weren't playing until I looked at the scorebooks. No one mentioned it at all, Matt. Not a big deal. Should have easily won that game. But that's all I have. You have anything else you want to talk about? You can keep talking about Florida State if you want. I don't care.
I mean, another win. It's all that matters.
I'm telling you, Florida State has been looking good. I mean, I didn't watch the entire last game, and I know they've faced some injuries, but that's been the knock on, like, other contenders, right?
I'll be honest. The one thing that I was pissed about is I wanted to see him cover the 21.5-point spread. They were right there. They were on the goal line, and Norvell was like, nah, that's good enough. And walked off the field.
Well, Purdue got that backdoor cover by throwing that pass with, like, no time left. So I was like, dang, that's the cover. I don't really care about the gambling because I thought they were going to really embarrass Purdue. But their coach was talking trash about sign stealing, and he walked right past Harbaugh in the handshake. He knew he was in the wrong. And then the fact that he was possibly implicated with the other sign stealing doc just makes it so much better, because he was crying about how much of an advantage it is. Maybe he knows from when they beat Penn State, Matt, because he used to coach at Illinois as their defensive coordinator. Maybe he knows. but we got to see. The rest of the season has to play out. This is the first week where I think we got some other big games that are going to kind of figure things out. Now, if the favored teams win, and Michigan, Georgia, and Bama all win, and Florida State wins, it's going to kind of be the same old, I think. Where the rest of the year is going to just be the top team sorting it out. But Michigan's on the road. Happy Valley is always a tough team. It's at noon. Will they be? Will Harbaugh even be the coach? What do you think?
I would say probably.
You think he will be?
I would be shocked if they threw anything at him, because I think there's too much money on the line. They'll wait until after the season, and then at that point, no one will care.
But like I said, it seems like these other teams are already in bed with Ohio State, and it's not the conference doing it. It's the teams and coaches that are pushing for it. The commissioner already said that he wasn't planning on doing anything, but the coaches, they had a call where all
they're going to wait for Michigan to win the national championship and then be like, "Oh, you guys cheated," and then take it away. We'll just have a whole show of just you crying. We're like, "It's not fair."
Matt, like I've said before, I don't even care if they take it away. As long as we win the Natty, I don't care. I'd buy 100 t-shirts. I'd constantly just wear them, and people would be like, that's a cheating shirt. I think it would trigger more people other than me, right? I'd rather have that happen than, like, last year I always wondered, like, if Blake didn't get hurt, that changed Michigan's entire team. Maybe they don't lose to Purdue because they couldn't really run the ball for a bit. Blake looks that good. They haven't really been using him. Hopefully he comes out and balls out against Penn State, but it's like, at least I know that they were in the playoffs without him. It's not like back in the day where it's like, oh, your best guy got hurt. Yeah, we're going to pick someone else over you, right? Because like that could have happened like with the BCS, right? They could have did that. Now with the 12-team playoff, because that's the one thing too. It's like this year, win it all. If Harbaugh suspended, there's a 12-team playoff next year. Michigan has a five ranked teams in their schedule. Like they're going to have a tough schedule. Probably the hardest in the country next year because of the new everyone gets to play Michigan. That's why I think if the Big Ten does anything drastic, like kicks Michigan out, like people are hoping for, all the new teams coming in, their welcome schedule was Michigan. If you lose them, then what? You don't think they're going to be a little pissed? Hey, we hoodwinked you. You don't get Michigan anymore. You get Rutgers and Illinois, baby. Like, I think if you're at USC, you'd be kind of pissed at that because USC's first Big Ten game is Michigan in the Big House, I think. After Michigan plays Texas week two. So we'll see how it goes. If you're trying to mess up the money, Fox clearly wants Michigan in the conference and playing games. That's the only reason why I think all these coaches complaining just makes them look like bitches, right? All 13 coaches from the other teams had a chance to call and complain to the commissioner. What kind of commissioner sets that up? Like, the commissioner is supposed to have balls, dude. He's supposed to be like, this is what's going to happen, and that's it. Could you imagine if, like, Sankey had all the teams complain about Alabama on a call? Wouldn't that have been weird? But
I'm sure he probably did.
It was probably them all complaining about Missouri and how to give them penalties. Because weren't they always getting hit after they made those two SEC East championships? Think about it. Georgia was really struggling, and Missouri was making the SEC East. Steve Spurrier got pushed out after that. It's like a crazy time. But that's all I have. I know the show's been kind of long, but no one expects this to happen. This is like off-season content, right? Why are we doing it now? Like, why are they trying to? The only reason the Big Ten's trying to push them out is because the teams are afraid to play them. Penn State fans are afraid. Maybe they're in the wrong. Maybe Penn State kills Michigan this weekend, and that ends it. Because if Michigan was losing, like you said, it wouldn't even be a story. People would just be laughing at Michigan. So we'll see how it goes. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week, hopefully with everything resolved.